Well, isn't that lovely? I don't know if that's a tenor or an alto, but it sounded beautiful in my ears. Gang, welcome back. We are here with the creators of The Green Room, a show that is going to leaving Los Angeles and going to New York City for its off-Broadway premiere. And we're very, very fortunate today. We've got Stephen Foster, Rod Damer, and Charles, I'm sorry, if I'm Pelletier, here, who put this thing together. So, Stephen, tell us a little bit about it.
Hi. Well, The Green Room musical is a four-character musical about four theater majors in college with their hearts set on going to New York City and being in an off-Broadway show.
Wow, and that's kind of how it happens, right? In real life, I've never been in an off-Broadway show, but the Green Room is where people warm up or wait.
Yeah.
It's like a waiting room, correct?
Yeah, it's a waiting room of a theater, and in this particular instance, it's where the characters have made it sort of their lounge and where they rehearse and where they hang out, and so we just took that premise and made it into a musical, and now we're going up in New York.
Now, you and Rod wrote this together, is that right? Or who wrote it? Oh, who wrote it?
Rod.
Stephen and I wrote the book, and then Chuck wrote the music and the lyrics.
Oh, my God. You're all the creative class here in studio. This is wonderful. And did the writing of the book come from your own experiences, being in musical productions or musical plays? Or?
Yes. Way back when, I was at a small college in Minnesota called St. Olaf.
Get out of here.
Okay.
I always thought Betty White just made that city up on the Golden Girls.
There
really is a St. Olaf?
Okay. Yeah, so we have to keep the record straight that there is a St. Olaf. And a friend of mine, Steve Morix, he invited Betty White up to St. Olaf. Just to prove that it
does exist.
Exists, yeah. But anyway, that was the place. Like Stephen said, that was our third space that, we just like to hang out in. Mm. And at St. Olaf, there's chapel every day from 10 to 10:20. And that was a perfect time to play hooky from chapel and then just to get reacquainted with everyone. If that's the meeting place, that's the meeting place. See what's going on that day.
Wow. And then, Chuck, you put the music and the lyrics together for all this?
Right. Well, I was fascinated. Rod wrote a one-act play about what he just said, and I was just fascinated by the fact that it sort of worked on two levels, that, as everybody knows, the Green Room is this room where you wait to get on stage, and on a broader scale, they had cabbaged onto this Green Room at their college theater to be their lounge and where they hung out and where they worked on monologues and where they rehearsed songs. So it really became, on a kind of an analogy, it became their Green Room for performing in the real world.
Right.
It became their four-year Green Room. So I thought, rather than a one-act play, all three of us thought we could have this be a two-act play that traces their first day as freshmen all the way to their last college all-nighter.
Wow.
So the second act is their last all-nighter, and they are rehearsing for plays, rehearsing for monologues in their finals of their monologues class. They're writing their term papers that are due the next day. They're studying for finals. And they're drinking at the same time, so it's their last collegiate all-nighter. That's the first three scenes in the first act are various times in their 4 years, and then the second act is their last collegiate all-nighter.
Wow! Now this was here in Los Angeles for a period of time, correct?
Yeah. Yes, it premiered at the Hermosa Beach Playhouse,
okay.
And we got a rave review in the LA Times, uh-huh. And since then it's been produced all over the country and in Ireland and even Canada. So it's been, it's had a good history and a good track record, and now we're just so excited to bring it to New York.
Isn't that great? I mean, normally it's the other way, right? It starts in New York, off-Broadway or on-Broadway, and then it moves across the country. How wonderful that it got started here, and now you're going off-Broadway.
Yeah. Well, and that always made us feel kind of weird because we were like a fish out of water because, we'd pitch our musical to people, and they'd be like, in New York, and they'd say, oh, those Hollywood guys. You're just not taking this seriously, unless you're really famous.
Right.
But we finally got it to New York, and we think it's going to be sensational. We have a sensational director, an awesome cast, and a team that is just wonderful. So we're very excited.
I am really thrilled. Well, we're going to go to commercial break. But when I come back, when we come back, I want to talk to you a bit about the green room. Because the as Chuck was saying, the title, I mean, every person with any ambition at all has felt that he or she has had to sit in the green room of life waiting for that moment. And so I just want to explore that a bit with you all. So when we come back, gang, we'll be continue our discussion here with the creators of the Green Room. Thanks for tuning in here on Channel Q. And what song are we listening to, gang? What is that? Chuck, you wrote it.
I did. This is a song called Nothing Has Stopped My Boys. It's it's sort of autobiographical, actually. The character is a freshman in high school, and he gets a girl pregnant, or he thinks he gets a girl pregnant. And so all his friends are like, oh, gosh, oh, what are you going to do? But there's something about him that, I don't know if he's questioning his sexuality or what, but he looks at this as news that he has manly prowess that he really was doubting. So he gets really excited, and he goes, wow, I made a baby. And he sings this song about how glorious it is that he doesn't have to think about his manly prowess anymore. He just can celebrate the fact that he's got a baby, and now all he has to do is figure out what to do with the kid.
You know, the creative industries, I think historically LGBT people played a huge role in Hollywood, movies, television, you know, the Tonys on stage. And I imagine that there are probably people listening right now who would love to have something off-Broadway happen in their lives. What advice would you give to anyone who's out there thinking, I can write a musical?
I would say sleep your way to the top. No.
Oh, that works in politics,
yeah,
too.
Get a good set of knee pads. No, I would say make your work as good as you possibly can and start getting out there and networking it. No one's gonna produce it if it's sitting in a drawer. And that's been my philosophy, is network and put your work out there and don't be modest about it, because there's people out there
who... How long did it take you to do the book? You and Rod were writing the book for how long? Just curious.
Off and on. 1990... Two?
Wow.
Yeah, it really... So it.
Wow. So like this, 20 years, this is in the making.
This sort of thing, you know, it becomes a germ, and then you go, we'll make a one-act musical out of this. And so we did that, and we mounted a one-act musical at Stevens Theater Company back in 2000-something. That was really the first time it was ever on stage, 2001 or something.
Yeah.
And then it... it was told, people loved it so much that they said, you've just got to make a two-act musical out of this. And that's when we expanded it into the format that it is now. But, you know, we did some rewrites for the Hermosa Beach Playhouse, because that was a more conservative venue.
Right.
You know, and then, so in New York, when Stephen Miller, who is the artistic director, was the person who found the project, and he said, you know, my team just has to get in on this and be the first people to bring it to New York. That's where it all started. And he said, well, it needs to be edgy. So then it's just a matter of a long process of writing, and they always say writing is rewriting, a long process of rewriting to get us to where we are now.
But I'd like to add something. You know, you said the germ, and it's, you know, 20 years in the making. There are a lot of seeds, there are a lot of germs that, you know, fell by the wayside. So, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You have your 10 creative endeavors, and 9 of them aren't going to go anywhere, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And do the 9 that end up falling to the wayside, some of those ideas get incorporated into the one that actually does take root?
Yes. The stronger twin eats the weaker twin.
It is like a germ. Okay.
And it's stronger for it. Yeah.
Oh, that's really, really interesting. On music and lyrics, Chuck, does the melody come first or the words, the lyrics come first?
With me, both at the same time. Broadway always lists their writers as music by and lyrics by. although a lot of my favorites wrote both. Meredith Wilson, who wrote Music Man, Frank Lesser, who wrote Guys and Dolls, Lionel Bart, who wrote Oliver. They wrote both music and lyrics. Cole Porter wrote music and lyrics. And the people that I grew up with, that I cared about, wrote both music and lyrics, like Paul McCartney and John Lennon, even though they wrote together, they both wrote everything. So to me, I've read a lot about them, and I write the way more modern songwriters write, which is you sit down with an idea, you come up hopefully with a hook line or a reason that this song has to begin and end. And I sit at the piano or with a guitar, and the melody comes and the words come at the same time.
If you're doing your elevator speech to somebody about why they should go see The Green Room, you've got 30 seconds to get it out. What would you say, Stephen?
The Green Room is a four-character musical about the lives of four college students, but it transcends that and it becomes a universal message about hope and success and teamwork within your network and how friends can make it together.
That's awesome. That's a good elevator speech. That's a really good elevator speech. I love that. And it starts in New York when? September or something?
It opens September the 27th, and it's going to be at the American Theater of Actors at the Sargent Theater on 314 West 54th Street between 8th and 9th.
Awesome. We're broadcasting in New York right now, so New Yorkers, it's coming. It's coming. Those Hollywood guys. I think that's so funny. You know, it's not, the way that you've described it, of course, it sounds very Sondheim-like to me. I mean, very the whole people coming together or company or something like that. Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because in the LA Times review, he had said that it's merrily we roll along without the rolling. That was one thing that was in the LA Times.
That's great. So the LA Times gave it a good review?
They did.
That's awesome. That is awesome. All right, what happens after this? Are you guys go on to write something else, or do you keep working together as a creative team, or maybe you've always been a creative team, the three of you?
Well, it's what we're hoping is going to happen with The Green Room. We're hoping that it's going to get picked up by Samuel French or Dramatists Play Service. And then we hope it gets produced a lot more all over the country. And what happens next is, I know Chuck and I have projects that we're working on because now we're filmmakers. And we don't know. We might make a sequel someday.
Oh, that's awesome.
And put you in it.
Okay, yeah. Yes, the mayor. There you go.
Yeah.
Website or Facebook page, or where can people get more information?
Right. So tickets can be had at greenroom.brownpapertickets.com. That's greenroom.brownpapertickets.com. And as Stephen said, it's at the American Theater of Actors. The Sargent Theater inside that facility is the specific theater it's in. That's it. Directed by Jessica Jennings and our artistic director, Stephen Miller.
That's awesome. Okay, everyone, go see it. Sounds like it's going to be a gay old time, so to speak. So enjoy it. Hey, you all, thank you very much for coming in studio. It's been a pleasure to have you all here with
us.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Gang, when we come back, Angela Briscelli from the June Mazur Lesbian Archives. Thanks for tuning in here on Channel Q.